Out of everything that a church does, what is the one thing that a church always seems to do? It doesn't matter how big, how small, rural, urban, denominational, non-denominational, old, new, multicultural, intergenerational, fundamentalist, conservative, progressive, every single type of church, at least every church that I know, has a worship service of some kind. Doesn't matter if it's in an ancient sanctuary, a converted warehouse, or in someone's home. A group of people typically gather together to do something that they call worship. An act of worshiping God. But the question is, with all these different varieties of what worship is, what, in the many different ways it looks different, what is worship? Like many of you, I've been to worship services weekly for the vast majority of my life. Details have changed, but for the most part, the worship services I have been a part of look pretty similar to the one that we're having here today. When I was growing up, I always liked going to church. I saw my friends. I got to be around adults other than my parents that seemed to care about me. I heard encouraging messages. I don't know, there's always just something about worshiping God that centered me, that allowed me to anchor my life around something, even at a very young age. It was as much a part of my life as going to school was. And one year, at the church that I grew up in, we got a new pastor. And this new pastor said, "Hey, let's try a contemporary worship service." And I remember being a teenager, and I was absolutely so excited. Finally, a worship service that had a little different of a feel. I was excited for it. And when they said to me, "Hey, we need a male voice for the praise team. Are you interested, Bryce?" I, of course, jumped up and said, "Yes, I would be excited to be part of the praise team." And my friends, I loved being in our praise band at the church I grew up in. To be honest, we were a bit of a cobbled operation. And to be honest, we weren't always really that good. I think that was more me than anyone else. But that never mattered to me because it was always just so much fun. I was part of a community of sorts. And the folks that came to our services were the same folks I'd always known, with a little skip in their step. We felt a little bit closer as we came together in this new worshiping community. I liked doing it so much that when our high school theater director pulled me, the lead actor in the last three plays, aside and said, "You need to quit praise band if you want to roll in the next play," I quit doing theater. I couldn't give up that thing that seemed to anchor me. But then I graduated high school. And like so many when they get to college, I stopped going to church. Of course, I didn't completely stop. Our private university had a chapel service every Thursday morning, and you'd be hard-pressed to not find me there every single Thursday. I have plenty of fond memories about my university chapel experience, being shaped in my spiritual formation, building community with other students, and always being among the last ones to leave the after-chapel lunch, hearing thought-provoking sermons, leading my own Bible study, and yes, laying eyes for the very first time on my future wife and asking her to marry me on the steps of that chapel. Chapel services at Baker University truly anchored me. Anchored me during my life in college. But then I graduated. And Teresa and I had visited churches here and there, but we never really made a full-fledged connection with the church until we moved to Atlanta. We walked into Sandy Springs Christian Church, and I felt that connection again. The folks there welcomed us with open arms and threw us right into the deep end. In about a month of going there, they kind of voluntold us to help them out at a food bank. And then a couple months later, I sat down across from our pastor and heard familiar words that I had heard about 8 years prior. "We want to start a contemporary worship service." So we started a new service. It'd be a stretch to call it contemporary, but we positioned it in the hope that it might attract millennials. We started by dreaming big, but as we went along, we realized it wouldn't be so big. We started dreaming small. We set up chairs in a circle. We had two singers and an acoustic guitar. We had prayer stations, little sheet for lyrics, and an uncomplicated order of worship. We called it the table. It was an anchor for me during my years in seminary. What seemed to center the rest of the world around me, what brought me comfort during those years in seminary. Sometimes there are seven of us. We averaged somewhere between 15 and 20, and we never got above 30 people. But there was one Sunday, one service, that taught me all I needed to know about worship. Because despite it being marketed to millennials, the vast majority of folks weren't. It attracted a lot different of a crowd. And one couple that came to our service every single week was Russ and Priscilla Glenn. They were a lovely couple who always had a nice word to share and would always take time to check in on Teresa and I and make sure we were doing okay since we were so far away from home. And that, I was keeping up with my studies. Priscilla would always tell me, well, you better keep studying because you got to finish and get out of here. Russ and Priscilla, by the way, were both 91 years old. They were the sweetest couple I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. And one day, we were in our sanctuary, having our worship service. It was pretty much my job every week to do communion. I was standing up, saying that familiar words of intinction, breaking the bread, when I noticed Priscilla shaking Russ's arm. I looked over and he seemed to kind of be nodding off. Russ then made a loud grunting noise and fell over in the pew. He was completely unresponsive. I dropped the bread, went over to the pew, and someone else called 911. Then all of us started to pray. You see, worship and prayer to me have been two sides of the same token. They are 100% interrelated. You pray during worship, and I believe you worship when you pray. And these two acts are related for two main reasons. Prayer is an act of worship and vice versa. When we are worshiping, we are communicating to God for our thankfulness, for our lament, for our worshiping, for our anxiety, for our praise, all the things that we do at the same time when we pray. You can't really separate the two out. Prayer is the simple act of daily individual worship in our lives. And second, worship and prayer are both ways to anchor our lives. I've talked about how all of those worshiping communities provided me an anchor for different periods of my life. And even now, being a pastor here, this worship service helps anchor me every single week. It is where I would try to work out the meaning of the world around me. But it's also where I experience love and grace, not just from God, but from you all as well. And prayer is the exact same thing. We pray to ground ourselves in thankfulness for our food, ground our anxieties when we are going in for a job interview, and ground us in God's peace when we are going through trials or the path ahead might not seem so clear. See, the acts of worship and prayer grounds us. It anchors us. It helps us face the world around us. How? By keeping our eyes focused on the one who created the entire world around us. Psalm 95, our scripture for today. Let us come to the Lord's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. The Lord is our Maker. The Lord made all of this and made us. The Lord is our starting point and our ending point. The natural order of the universe is fixed on God because God ordered the natural order of the universe. So when we communicate through worship, through songs, through reverence, through the simple act of just being together in God's name, we are turning towards God and anchoring ourselves with our Creator, with our Redeemer, and with our Sustainer. No matter the chaos, no matter the clutter, the consternation, or the lack of control in our lives, God is the constant. And when we draw closer to God by worshiping God, by telling God our needs, by relying on God and calling on God for our peace, we tap into who God is and we anchor the world around us on the right point. God. No matter if we are saying thank you for our food, peace for our day, or for protection for our friend who is unresponsive in the pew. A couple of minutes after we called 911, Russ ended up coming to before the ambulance arrived. When he came to, he was surprised that we had called an ambulance. We said, Russ, you passed out. Of course, you're 91 years old. Of course we called an ambulance. But he didn't want to go to the hospital. I'm not dead, I'm just old. But when the ambulance arrived, we convinced him to just at least let the paramedics take his vitals, just in case. And they did, and the paramedics said they could take him in, but it was completely up to him. So, of course, he signed the waiver forms and the ambulance left. But at that point, it got dark out because it was an evening service and it was already an hour past time for the service to end. But everyone was still there. And when it was decided that Russ probably shouldn't drive home, Priscilla said she would drive, but she couldn't find her keys. We searched and we searched and we sat with her while she tore her purse open for another 45 minutes. Finally, one of us found them, and I'll be honest, I don't remember where they were. But then, because it had gotten so late, Priscilla told us that she hadn't driven in the dark for 30 years. But she'd sure be willing to give it a try. So after some more convincing, I drove Russ and Priscilla home safely, 2 hours past the time the service had ended, but we all left at the same exact I consider all of that to be worship. Because here's the thing, when we gather in community, when we worship in community, when we look out for one another in community, when we take care of one another in community, when we pray in community, we are anchoring ourselves with God because God wants us to live in community with one another, serving one another, looking out for one another. Community provides that anchor point. That's why, here at First Christian, we need you. We need you. Yes, I'm talking to each and every single one of you in this room. Your voice is important. Your presence is important. As our book's author, Adam Hamilton, points out, worship connects us with God, and it connects us with others. He also points out that studies show that those that are part of church or some other faith community have better physical and mental health and live longer. So, you know, there are other perks too. And while communal worship is important, there's also a daily worship that we participate in whenever we pray. Prayer also orients us on our Creator. And praying often helps us bring closer to God as both an appropriate response to the blessing that God gives us, but also helps us work that gratitude muscle that we've talked about here before. that the more we express our gratitude, the easier it is to see the things that we are thankful for, which helps us see the world in a more positive light, which then helps us do put more good out into the world. So daily prayer is also important. And I actually want to offer to you all, for free, the tips that Adam Hamilton gives us in our group study. I won't do this every time because, you know, I want you to be part of a small group. But Pastor Hamilton encourages us to pray 5 times a day. Now, on the surface, that might seem a little extreme until you realize it's not. If you hold out your right hand, kind of like this, you look at your fingers. You have 5 fingers, and each of those fingers represent the 5 times you should pray. Once when you wake up, 3 more right before meal times, and once before you go to bed. Pretty easy. But then the question comes, what are we to pray for? You can pray in many other ways, but if you hold out your left hand, Pastor Hamilton suggests each of those 5 fingers can represent a different thing to pray for every single day. And you can pray in many different ways, but I actually find this to be pretty helpful. The first one is the thumb. It's to give thanks, to give praise to God. Kind of like giving God a thumbs up. Then you've got your pointer finger, and that stands for giving thanks to God. Kind of like, you know, those old war posters where I want you, but thank you, God, for all the many blessings you have given us. Next is the middle finger. And let's be honest, if you use the middle finger a lot, you probably have something to confess about. So the middle finger kind of represents confession. Those things, ways that we've sinned, the things we need to pray for, to ask for forgiveness, where we've fallen short, a confession that we make to God. The fourth finger is your ring finger. And on my particular hand, I wear a ring on my fourth finger that symbolizes my marriage. The ring finger to me represents petition. I pray for my wife. I pray for my family. I pray for all those that are closest to me, that I love. We pray for petition to God for those needs, for that peace, that protection, that wisdom that we all could seek. And then finally, we have the pinky, the smallest of fingers. We should always conclude our prayers by yielding ourselves to God and inviting God to use us for God's purposes, because even though we may be so small, it is only with God we can do extraordinary things. So we yield ourselves to God's plans and God's purpose, because God is bigger than us. So there we go. Worship and prayer. The communal and individual daily anchoring of our lives with God's will. It may look different, sound different, and be different for everyone. But when we work to include both in our daily lives, we are reminded, as the psalmist said, "The Lord is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Listen to his voice and know that you are loved. Amen.